Andrew, and morning everyone. I bring a special greeting from Brother Martin and Sister Lynn Herbert, Mum and Dad, from up in the Waitakere Ranges this morning. So they'll be thinking of us as we meet here this morning. So this morning we're going to take a thought from the scriptures that I find interesting and speaks to me on a number of levels, and that is the theme of mountains. It's one of my favourite places to be, is on top of a mountain. And it's interesting that in a testament to God's how he's manifest himself in his scripture, that the theme I've chosen to talk on this morning is connected to the readings we have. We have mention of the mountains where God's people would sing his praises, and also the destruction of the mountains of those who disobeyed God. And one of the core teachings, or maybe not teachings, but stories that is communicated to us is that of the commandments, which Brother Side read to us about from 1 John chapter 5, the commandments. Of course, we know the commandments and the law were given to Moses from where? On top of a mountain. So this is a theme which, you know, just in these two chapters is already starting to establish itself. But mountains to me always feel a little bit closer to God on top of a mountain, and I think there's a number of reasons for that. Well, literally you're closer to the heavens, having ascended to a higher place, but also the process of getting to the top of a mountain, you know, it's hard work, and not particularly enjoyable, the process necessarily, but once on top of a mountain you get a wonderful perspective, you get a view, it's not cloudy, and it's a place which is a special place. You know, we're not on the top of a mountain all the time. We don't live on top of mountains. It's not an easy place to live. So it's an unusual place to be. But my experience of being on top of a mountain is that it's a spiritual place. It's a nice place to be. You're literally that little bit closer to God, but you also gain a bit of his perspective that God has looking down on creation. So this is a theme, an idea that I hope to explore a little bit this morning and see how God uses the idea of the mountain and the process of getting on top of a mountain and being on top of a mountain, and some of the examples that are shown in Scripture can be helpful for us. And that there's a metaphor here. It's not just about going out and climbing a mountain, but that each of us has mountains in our lives. Not literal mountains, but things that are struggles, things that take discipline and effort, sweat and work to ascend. And one of the classic examples of mountains, which I think demonstrates, if we just turn to Genesis chapter 13, because, of course, you know, we have a mountain, but what's the contrast? Well, it's the contrast of a valley or a flat plain, and this is usually where humans find ourselves establishing our livelihoods is on the flat plains for a number of reasons. Well, they tend to be pretty obvious, where it's easy to grow food and have an easier way of life. So just reading from Genesis chapter 13, and this is the interaction between Abram and Lot as their household grow. Abram, having travelled from Egypt, along with his wife and everyone who belonged to his household, including Lot, to the Negev. Now Abram had become quite wealthy in livestock, silver and gold. He journeyed by stages from the Negev to Bethel, the place where his tent had formerly been between Bethel and Ai, where he had first built an altar. There Abram called upon the name of the Lord. Lot, who was travelling with Abram, also had flocks of sheep and herds and tents, but the land could not support them living together because they had so many livestock. They could not stay together. And there was strife between the herdsmen in charge of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen in charge of Lot's livestock. Also at the time, the Canaanites and Perizzites living in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let's not have strife between you and me, or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, since we're relatives. Isn't the whole land available to you? Let's separate. If you go to the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Lot looked around and noticed the whole Jordan plain, as far as Zoar, was well watered like the garden of the Lord, or like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan plain. They not travelled eastward, and they separated from each other. So Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the plain, setting up his tent in the vicinity of Sodom. Okay, so there we have this kind of contrast. What Lot chooses, he chooses the cities of the plain. And we know ultimately that was a choice of great peril and some pretty serious outcomes for Lot. But this is something that we can, I feel like we can relate to. You know, where do we choose to live? We choose to live on the flat land, the productive land. We live in cities. We're human after all. We're not going to go out of our way to necessarily choose the hard option. But here, Abram allowed Lot to make that decision. Lot made that decision, and he went and set up his household in Sodom. And we know what plays out there. But what's kind of implicit here and is that Abram was left the mountainous land. He was left the other side. And we know it wasn't all mountainous land, but he didn't take the easy option. He wasn't left the easy option. And we know that from the very beginning when God called Abram, that he pulled his whole household out of the Ur of Chaldees to travel to Palestine, across the mountains. But it's interesting here, the contrast between the mountain land and the potentially perilous, easy land that is the plain. That is interestingly is already populated with cities of men. So it's interesting from the very outset we have this this contrast between the mountain land and the cities of the plain. Also, while we're on Abram, of course we know that Abram had his own very serious interaction with God on top of a mountain, when he was called with Isaac to go on top of the mountain to sacrifice his own son, and was stayed at the last moment. So this is a very testing time. Not only did Abram have to climb the mountain with his son, but there was this spiritual, emotional mountain that had to be climbed of what God had asked Abram to do. And it's interesting that that occurs on the side of a mountain, on the top of a mountain. So mountains can, already just looking at these two examples, it can be symbolic of a challenge. There's the literal challenge of climbing a mountain, but we can have mountains in our own lives which don't necessarily require us to go and walk up the side of a hill. We know that through Jesus' experience in Matthew chapter 4, experiencing fasting and being tempted on a high mountain. So he was taken out to a high mountain to be tempted. So again, we have this connection between a very difficult spiritual, emotional time and being on top of a high place. So mountains can come to represent to us challenges and obstacles in our lives. And I think it's important to understand that our own difficulties and challenges are opportunities for growth, opportunities to gain an ascent, and an opportunity for transformation and for perspective. And this will start to make a bit more sense as we go through here. Next point is mountains are a place for spiritual perspective. So when we get on top of a mountain, you have this wonderful perspective and you can feel a little bit closer to God because you gain some of his perspective. You're able to look down on his creation as he does. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do, is to go out to a high place and enjoy the view. Of course, we have that idea drawn out for us in a spiritual sense in Matthew chapter 17, which of course is Jesus' transfiguration on a high mountain, where he revealed his divine nature to his disciples. So there's a broadening of perspective. He's using this as a teaching moment to his human disciples, his brethren, to see things from a different perspective, to see things from his Father's perspective, that Jesus was in fact the Son of God and was divine in that sense. And so ascending a mountain is again a metaphor for gaining spiritual perspective, to be able to see life from a higher vantage point. So again, we can take encouragement from this, that these moments of difficulty that require us to labour up the hill, often with a burden on our back, that it requires a lot of hard work and persistence, that we can not only gain the satisfaction of overcoming that, and we may not overcome it, we may not get to the top as part of the process, but in that process we can gain spiritual perspective, we can gain a different view of things. Mountains also a symbol, as we saw in the Isaiah reading today, of majesty and awe, that the people, to praise God, they are on top of the mountain, a place to go and praise God. And to draw a reference from Psalm 121, which proclaims, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And that's certainly, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind when I'm atop a mountain, is that God has created this. Not only do I feel a little bit physically closer to God, not only do I gain that perspective that God has to look down on his creation, but I have that sense of awe that God has created this mountain and everything underneath it. So it's a reminder, an opportunity for us to appreciate our place in the eyes of God, and to appreciate his majesty and the power of his creative works. So again, we can take encouragement that we have these opportunities to venture into God's creation. We can walk up a mountain or up a hill, gain some perspective, but also to appreciate the beauty, the creativity, and the power of our Creator. And again, mountains throughout the scriptures, places where great spiritual things happen. And when we appreciate what the scriptures say about great spiritual things, they tend to be on an individual level, secreted away. So this is again speaking to us of this metaphor that mountains in our own lives are not necessarily shared with others. They're often something that needs to be overcome on an individual level. We see this again in Jesus' life. He would frequently withdraw to the mountains. We'll just look at an example in Luke chapter 6. So here we have reading from verse 12. "Now it was in those days that Jesus went to a mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." And this was at a time, this is when Jesus is choosing his 12 apostles. So it's a time which requires him to have, you know, he's got to make some decisions here. He's got to think about how he's going to align what he chooses to do with what God has asked him to do. And so he goes away to a mountain. He withdraws from the cities of men, from the city of the plain, from the easy life, the perilous life, to do some work, to ascend a mountain, to sweat, but also to go to a place that is he'll gain some perspective, where he will have the opportunity to appreciate the creative work and power of his Father. But he comes away to pray. And so he's drawn out in solitude to the mountains, and the mountains represent to us places of spiritual retreat, a place of prayer, meditation, and of solitude. And again, this is an opportunity for us to appreciate, to prioritise those moments of retreat. And here we have one, we're sharing one this morning. Sure, we're not alone. And that's part of the wonderful thing that we do this morning, is appreciate that we're not alone in our struggle up the mountainside. But we've withdrawn ourselves in a more metaphorical sense from the life around us that we have to engage in. But to acknowledge that there's something greater going on, to gain some perspective, to connect with our Father, and to appreciate the work that he has achieved in his Son. So whether in the mountains or in a peaceful setting, we have this opportunity to reconnect with God, to rejuvenate our spirit, and to deepen our relationship with him, just as Christ did when he withdrew from the chaos of his day-to-day life to spend a night of peacefulness atop a mountain with his Father. And so we're just going to flick now to another reference to mountains. We're going to go back to Isaiah 40. So just a couple of chapters before the one we read this morning. And down to verse 31. And maybe just for a bit of context, starting verse 27. Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you complain? My predicament is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is ignored by my God. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary, and his understanding cannot be fathomed. He's the one who gives might to the faint, renewing strength for the powerless. Even boys grow tired and weary, and young men collapse and fall. But those who keep waiting on the Lord will renew their strength. Then they'll soar on the wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not grow tired. So climbing a mountain requires perseverance and some tenacity, and it's essential to our spiritual journey. And so we have this wonderful example here, and immediately thinking of the hard work required to climb a mountain. Young men are going to grow tired. People are going to complain, but the Lord will give strength to those who persevere, and they will not grow tired, and they will not grow weary. So we have some encouragement here that though we will face challenges, we have mountains in our lives, that's unavoidable. But God promises here that for his people who are willing to trust in him, he will give them the strength they require to place one foot in front of the other. So the next aspect of mountain climbing we're going to consider is where Jesus tells his disciples that faith as small as a mustard seed is able to move mountains. And that's quite an interesting idea to consider, moving a mountain. Why would we want to move a mountain, first of all? But that's not really what Jesus is drawing out here. But what I believe Jesus is drawing out to his disciples is that, of course, the lesson that only a little faith is required to achieve great things. But I think it's telling us more than that. That through faith, we are able to transcend, or as in Jesus' own words, to move beyond our limitations. So a mountain, we're starting to see metaphorically, represents a challenge or a limitation in our own lives. And that Jesus is demonstrating to his disciples that these metaphorical mountains, these challenges that we face, this burden that we bear, our weakness, our sin, is able to be moved by only a little faith. So again, this is in Jesus' own words, the opportunity to embrace the mindset of growth, to be able to overcome what appears to us to be insurmountable, that we can conquer a mountain that stands before us in our way with only a little faith. So this really a few points to consider around the idea of mountains in the Bible. And so we've seen that man's interaction with mountains, the climbing of mountains, and then just to recap some of the things off the top of my head that we have in regards to man's interaction with mountains. We have Abraham and Isaac on top of a mountain. One of these pinnacle cornerstones of our faith occurs at the top of the mountain, where the friend of God is called to sacrifice his son, but his hand is stayed and the goat is delivered from the bush. It occurs on the top of a mountain. God's law is communicated to his people from where? On top of a mountain. And it's interesting to consider that a little bit when Moses and Aaron go up the mountain. They leave the children of Israel behind. They go into this high place, and it's frightening. Aaron is trembling with fear. The people themselves, they're not at the mountain, but they see this great troublesome event occurring on the mountain where Moses is receiving the law from God. But again, it's one of these cornerstone events that occurs on top of a mountain. We considered Abraham and Lot and the choice that Lot made. He was drawn to the cities of the plain, just like we are. We're drawn to an ease of life, and we've built a lifestyle, we've built a civilization around making life easier for ourselves. And that has the capacity to draw us away from God, as Lot's example shows, and it can be perilous. So staying connected to the mountains in our life is really important to gain perspective. Elijah and the prophets of Baal on top of a mountain, God demonstrating again his character and showing to the nations round about, specifically his people Israel, his power and his creative works. Christ withdraws away to a mountain, is crucified on a mountain. And so we have opportunity now to consider the mountains in our own life, the places where we are closest to God, the places that require us to work, to sweat, to choose the hard way, and knowing and understanding that by a little faith that mountain can be moved, and even through perseverance, God is willing, is beyond willing, is in his graciousness, will give us all we need to place one foot in front of the other. And so mountains are symbolic of the challenges that face us in our lives. And by choosing to climb the mountains rather than skirt them or avoid them or not address them or pretend that they don't exist, by choosing to confront them, we can gain perspective. We can gain a greater sense of God's power and awe and of his majesty. We can ascend there as a place of retreat, to withdraw ourselves from the ease and chaos of our day-to-day lives. By ascending the mountain, we're reminded to be perseverant and to attain that mindset of growth, to change our view of the mountains in our lives as something that can be moved by just a small amount of faith. And so we meet here this morning to encourage each other by considering this metaphor of the mountain in our life. And many of us have, we all have multiple mountains, whether we see them or not. To view these challenges, these mountains that exist in our lives, as opportunities for growth, for perspective, and understanding and connecting with God, as a retreat for reflection and persevering through difficulties. So finally, I'd just like to turn to Psalm 24 as a final thought, as we draw our mind to the mountain that is Christ. So we're going to finish with these words as we prepare our minds for the sacrifice that Christ has made for us to ultimately be with God on top of his mountain. The earth and everything in it exists for the Lord, the world and those who live in it. Indeed, he founded it upon the seas, he established it upon deep waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has innocent hands and a pure heart, the person who does not delight in what is false and does not swear an oath deceitfully, this person will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the salvation of God.